There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We hope you're having a great day. We are at Flowery Branch bringing you the latest on our Falcons. We've got some injuries to report and getting you updated on the guys that hopefully are going to be able to go on Sunday. Also coming up in less than 15 minutes, you'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris on all the things, guys, not only last week, but also looking ahead to the Saints. And we'll talk about the College Football Playoff Committee as well, because this is the first release of their rankings. And some people are like, what are they doing by putting Ohio State in front of Georgia? We'll get into all of that on the way. Mike, as we start the 5 o'clock hour, here's the deal with where we are and where the Saints are, okay? We are winning games. We're leading the division. We're fairly healthy, I'm knocking wood, okay, right. Considering what they're up against. And the bigger thing is, this is a little get-back game. Now, we've already beaten them, right? But to sweep them is sweeter than anything.
Oh, man. And it's only a few times that I've been a Falcon fan over those 26 years that we've done that.
Doesn't happen often.
And even when one team is good and the other one is bad, that's why I said it's a trap on Monday. Somebody can always rise up, pardon the pun, even at home and get it done. But, yeah, they're struggling. You know, to lose, now, Lattimore was not going to be able to play in this game either way with the hamstring. But I don't have to remind Falcon fans, and Coach Rye, you'll hear his comments on it, Taysom Hill is always trouble. Taysom Hill has been a burr in our saddle forever, you know, and going back to the Breeze days when they would use him, and certainly, you say the same thing about Alvin Kamara. But hey, guys, a chance, Carl, to go 5-0 in the division.
Crazy.
And basically lock it up that there's no way you're not in the playoffs.
No. The last game of the season, I would tell you, and they won't say that here, I will, wouldn't mean anything. It just wouldn't. Like, not as far as the division is concerned, which means if you went into the last week of the season and you needed additional rest before we got into the playoffs,
right,
you could do that. I don't know how that looks right now, but I'm telling you that's what would happen if we were able to win on Sunday. Now, what about the sacks? Because we asked Rob this today, and I want you to hear what he said about the game plan to get more sacks, because this is basically me saying, are you going to start using these linebackers more? We saw Caden Ellis get involved against the Cowboys. Here was his response.
It's kind of like what we talked about every single week before we actually registered a sack for you guys, right? It was like, hey, I see it in practice. In practice, preparation eventually equals game reality. And that was closer to what I've been seeing every day in practice, as opposed to what we've been giving to you sometimes on the weekends, right? You got to go out there and execute. The guys got to go out there and play. But you can definitely look forward to seeing more Troy. You can definitely look forward to seeing more Caden. You can definitely look forward to seeing more of those guys come in, Nate Landman, or whatever the case may be, along with the outside backers and the inside people that rush for us, are just giving more production off how they play and the way they're going to go about their business. It just, I feel really good about the guys that we have, and I have for a while.
Right.
And I was happy to see some of the results come out so everybody else can see it as well.
I asked a follow-up, you know, about, because you and I were talking about it. When we got Caden Ellis, remember we had the interview when he was a free agent,
yeah,
brought him in here, 7 sacks his last year in New Orleans, and a little bit different with Ryan Nielsen's defense than what Jimmy Lake is running.
It was
his own version.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, you know, that's where it's at. I mean, We discussed the rookies that are injured with a row and Braylon Trice. So you've got to make it happen. We also asked the question, as best coach could answer, about why we weren't aggressive, or not aggressive, that's a bad choice of words, why we couldn't consummate a deal. I was hot yesterday about it because, as a fan, I think we thought that's something we have to get. But at the end of the day, if somebody's got you over barrel and all of a sudden now we have no draft picks for next year, I don't like it, but I guess I have to wrap my head. Like, at the end of the day, they didn't do it, so here we are. They've got it. It's got to work from the way you just asked the question. He's got to find it with the guys in the building.
He's got to find it. And by the way, they're capable. What I think he's also saying there, and he kind of mentioned this last week about Judon, like, we hadn't seen the best of Judon. Okay, I'm still waiting. He told us, though, 3 weeks ago that AK was coming.
Right.
We see it.
And he is.
He is. And so I have to trust that Raheem is like, look, I'm seeing this in practice. We're going to be all right. I know we haven't seen it in the game, which I told you guys. For fans, for us, it's tangible results. If I don't see a sack on Sunday, it don't matter how close you were in practice or whether you're doing the assignment right. I've got to visually be able to say, oh, wow, we got a few. That's what happened last week against the Cowboys. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to get to this hour.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
I'll tell you why the Falcons' game plan for the Saints is going to be something that I believe is going to work, and Mike will dive into more of what Kirk Cousins has been doing as well. Stay right there. Let's hear what Coach had to say about the mindset of playing the Saints this week. What is the mindset, Ra?
So this is what you got to know about all of that stuff. The perception from the outside looking in is that they're a mess. The reality is what the Saints make it. Right, we've been in that situation before. We've been in that situation even with us right after the draft. And we just come out and you go through your process and you got to believe in what you're doing. So whatever they got going on in the house doesn't matter to us. Our preparation has to be as if everything's in line, they're coming in all guns blazing, and they're ready to go, and we got to be prepared to play our best game. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to figure out a way to go through our process. We're trying to figure out what's best for us this week. We're figuring out how to go out there and get our next victory. The what it takes means it's going to happen. We're going to go through our practice. We're going to go through our game. We're going to go through everything. And we're going to end up in New Orleans, and we're going to be playing a real football game. And then once that starts, Alvin Kamara is going to be there. You know, David Carr is going to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to have significant players on defense going to play, Elante Taylor and those type of guys. And that matters.
And, you know, we heard some sound bites today during the commercial break. We heard some of the press conference of Darren Ritzy, who is the special teams coach, now the interim head coach for the Saints.
What'd you think?
He sounds like the typical crazy special teams coach. You know, the kind of guy's like, yeah, he's going to headbutt somebody with a helmet on, you know, like Irk Russell back in the day at Georgia Southern. He's got that energy. He sounds a little bit like Joe Judge. You know, he's a Jersey guy. He's got that edge. So, look, they apparently tuned out Dennis Allen, right? I mean, right?
I don't think that's that hard. Dennis Allen, guys, was not ever at any point considered to be a head coach. He has been a great assistant, and he was there with Sean Payton for a long time. And, Mike, let's be honest. The Benson family said, who can we go get and not spend a whole lot of money? Oh, hey, yeah. Dennis is here.
Right. That's
what they did. This wasn't a game-changing hire for them, and I respect him as an assistant, but as a head coach, it's different.
He's a two-time loser now because he was a Raiders head coach as well, and Mickey Lewis, the GM, says he's a fantastic football coach, so why'd you fire him? You know, the injuries, some of the things Mickey Lewis addressed that have come to conspire, you got to just change it, get him out of there, try a new fresh approach, but this is still a team. As long as they got Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara, that's trouble for me.
It is trouble. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Wednesday up here at Flowery Branch, and 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. You can't stop in, guys. Order Buffalo Wild Wings and go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. The full interview with Coach Ra is on the way. Mike, what is the injury update? Let's take a look at that real quick, because I think it's important as we head towards Sunday. We got some guys that may be ready. But I said this, do you play them knowing what you have down the road?
Right. Let's start with Judon. That's an illness, so that could be a cold or something like that. Bertrand still in the concussion protocol. Grady Jarrett, he answered the question before they even had the injury report. I'll be ready on Sunday.
So, get that microphone out of my face.
So much like with Lindstrom in Tampa, after this game this week with the Achilles, Grady Jarrett, they said, hey, we'll just keep you out for your own protection.
That's right.
So Grady feels good. Kyle Pitts. Now, here's one that we brought up last hour. Is a little bit interesting. Kyle.
Whoa, who?
Kyle Pitts.
Don't tell me something's wrong with Kyle Pitts.
Hamstrung. as Jameis would say. Yeah, a hamstring injury. He was limited in participation. Drake London with a hip, limited as well. Coach was leaning, but Coach leans a lot in the midweek. It's Friday when the rubber hits the road on the injury report. If he's questionable or doubtful, maybe we don't see Drake London. But all of a sudden now, if Pitts isn't 100% and Drake is banged up, we do not have our full... I know you can use Bijan out of the backfield and do everything, put him as, use him as a wide receiver, but we don't have all our weapons going up against the Saints.
No,
potentially.
And we don't. And again, I'm not taking this game for granted.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
And you thought the Cowboys were desperate. They're desperate. Like seven in a row?
They got nothing to lose, too. Playing loose with a new coach.
Yeah.
And I told you yesterday, I know Saints fans, they're not going to be in the building like they usually are. But some Saints fans.
Whoa. You mean Saints fans are not going to show up on Sunday?
Hey, play the yin yang.
Who that?
Twins. Bow, bow.
Really?
Boom, boom, ba-da, ba-da. Yeah, it won't be like our usual trips
really?
Down there.
What are they going to be doing in New Orleans on a Sunday, Mike? Not at the stadium.
Well, a Saints fan? Detailing windows? Maybe tarring a roof, panhandling. Anyway, just reach out choices off the top of my head. But no, the Saints, look, there are tickets available if you want to go down there. It's relatively inexpensive. I mean, compared to what it was about 3 months ago,
yeah.
We looked at those tickets for $500. Now you get tickets for under $100. So if people are going down there, real quick, two more guys. Troy Andersen, full participation with the knee, and Drew Dahlman, if they want to move on from New Zealand, but New Zealand back to reserve. Sounds like Drew Dahlman can start as your center.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting, man. I mean, here's the thing too, and I'm just gonna mention this. And this has nothing to do with us, but the Saints have cap issues. And if you don't believe like this window is closed, it's officially closing at the end of this year. They're gonna have to make some real decisions. It's why they traded away Marshawn Lattimore, Mike. They are not on the hook for the rest of his salary. I think it's $14 million this season. It's going to cost the Commanders just $605,000 for the rest of the season to take on his salary.
Right.
So they move on from him. But I'm just telling you, like, Saints fans think, oh, well, we'll be fine next year. This is a rebuild. They got a lot of old guys, And they got a lot of escalating salaries that they're going to have to relook at. And I'm just telling you right now, we are in a so much better position, than they are moving forward.
I mean, some would say, and I was talking with our buddies and my boy Brian, who's a Saints fan. A lot of Saints fans are saying, look, for better or for worse, let's see what we got with Rattler. Because you know what the ceiling is with Carr.
Sure.
So find out what you have with a guy that you dread with. He was a third round pick, right, was Rattler. So it's not like it's chicken feed. We know with Ritter, you know, for every third rounder that makes it, Russell Wilson, there's 50 that don't. But I wonder if the Saints, for instance, if we get up on these guys by three touchdowns, are we going to see Spencer Rattler in there?
Well, Carr's contract's going to have to be restructured, okay? Cam Jordan's probably retiring after the season. Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, their offensive line, right? These are guys that they've paid and invested in. Carl Granderson, all those deals got to be restructured. Falcon fans, what happens when you restructure a bunch of deals? You're kicking the can right down the road, and all of a sudden now it's going to pay. It's going to come back on you. These are the decisions. I'm just telling you.
Right.
So it's not even about, like, we're better than them right now. We should go handle business Sunday. But we could be better than them for a while
right
with the way things are going with that team.
But let's get that pass rush. We're going to ask Coach about, as Carl just brought you, give the soundbite, to give the whole answer and more about what we're going to do to get heat on the quarterback this week, man.
All right, stay there. Strong arm story of the day is away, Coach Raw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach Raheem Morris joining us, guys. Our Falcons playing some really good football. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the win last week. Before we start to look ahead, you know, everybody was wondering what that game was going to look like. And I felt like, and I'm curious to know what you think, you know, I never felt like they were going to at any point take control. Now, I know you're on the sideline and you might feel differently, but Mike and I, we're in the stands like, things are rolling for us. We're getting stops. I even thought the touchdown where, you know, the tip ball where they catch it in the end zone, it's like, okay, sometimes luck goes your way. But where do you rate that as far as the four quarters and our play compared to what you've seen so far this season?
I think that was a good example of us being able to dictate terms. That's really the way I like kind of describe that. It was like you came out and you really got a couple drives stalled because of some self-inflicted wounds, the holding that we got earlier, the next holding that we got. We jumped offside. So those are the things that kind of stopped us from moving the football all the way like we wanted. But on defense, we're able to get some key stops. We're able to actually hit the quarterback twice early in the game. We're able to make them a little bit skittish in the pocket and have to move around and make some plays like they did in the touchdown play, which you're referring to. But we're really able to control the game.
Right.
And we're able to do a lot of really good things when it came to managing the football game the right way. They had a really special returner, and you wanted to keep the ball out of his hands. We made a mistake on our first kickoff by getting it to him.
Save me that question. There you go.
Which was huge, yeah. You know, to get that penalty on that play. Our guys playing penalty-free football is a big part about how we want to play. Obviously, you saw the plan when we kicked it away from him the rest of the game, and then you got to worry about him in, like, the punt situations. And I was really proud of how we were able to mitigate his ability to hurt the game and really be a game wrecker
right
on our special team standpoint. And, like, that was just the whole key of being able to win the games. That's why I probably felt really good for you, and it felt better, and it felt like it wasn't as close as the game actually was because of those things and those factors, you know. But there's still a lot of things for us to improve on, right? How to close out games better with our 4-minute offense, you know, how to not let them score that last touchdown,
yeah,
things of that nature. And then, like we talked about early, how you don't hurt yourself by jumping off sides or getting a hold in that really makes drives a little bit harder on yourself. And, like, if we could do those things, those are the things that you're constantly working on with that growth mindset as a team that really calms you guys down.
Coach Ross with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Second week in a row, you guys sniff out a fake punt. As teams are always a part of the game, but, man, teams is really killing it.
You know, I talked to Marquise Williams, who's, I think, in my opinion, is the best special team coach in the National Football League, and, you know, his assistant, King, and what they are able to do and how they are able to distribute the information to our guys at a very skillful manner, at a way that is understandable, is relatable. And for those guys to have likable, learnable systems, I think is the most important thing. And our guys are prepared and ready to do those things at all times. And not to say that nobody will ever get a fake punt on us or make a play, but I know our guys are prepared and ready to do it. And if a guy is able to out-execute us, they will. But, you know, for Brooks to absolutely know a guy off our practice squad that we're able to elevate, be able to come up, you throw a pass on him, there's no pass interference in that situation, to be able to knock that pass down. You know, there is holding, so you can't hold the guy. But, you know, all of those things, all of those rules, all those things that take place within those walls of the classroom that translates out to walkthrough that then goes to practice, I couldn't be more proud of the things they're doing.
I'll be honest with you. I was waiting after those first two sacks for you to turn to the audience and go, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Where's Dukes and Bell?
Where are they? Where are these guys who keep killing me about these sacks?
That,
So
that's not my style.
We know, Coach. We know. But here's the deal, though. We did get three in the game, and Caden Ellis had a hell of a game. My question is, our linebacking corps is getting healthier. Anderson and I don't know what the update is, but you know, getting these guys back, is that a part of the plan to incorporate more of those guys helping with the rush? I don't know if fans pay enough attention, if Falcon fans are saying, hey, we've been doing that. Coach, we just haven't been getting there. Is there going to be more of that? That's my question.
You know, you have to do those things, right? And then it's kind of like what we talked about every single week before we actually registered a sack for you guys, right? It was like, hey, I see it in practice. In practice preparation eventually equals game reality. And that was closer to what I've been seeing every day in practice, as opposed to what we've been giving to you sometimes on the weekends, right? You got to go out there and execute. The guys got to go out there and play. But you can definitely look forward to seeing more Troy. You can definitely look forward to seeing more Caden. You can definitely look forward to seeing more of those guys come in, Nate Landman, or whatever the case may be, along with the outside backers and the inside people that rush for us, are just giving more production off how they play and the way they're going to go about their business. I feel really good about the guys that we have, and I have for a while.
Right.
And I was happy to see some of the results come out so everybody else can see it as well.
I don't want to ask you to speak for your general manager, but a lot of folks were wondering where we're going to make a move at the trade deadline. We never know what the ask was, what you guys were evaluating, guys that were available. I know you can't mention specific players. Were you pursuing, as best you can tell the audience, were we pursuing anything at the deadline, just couldn't come to fruition?
I always give you guys stuff, but you know, Terry does such a great job of really scouring the roster at all times and finding ways to improve. And like at this time of the year, really, general managers across the board talk to each other, and there's shoppers, there's buyers, there's all kinds of guys, and there's sometimes people just calling to acquire about different things, and like you're always fielding calls, you're always talking, so I'm sure you talk about all these things, you get a couple of different scenarios on the table, and if something realistic were ever to come to us, Terry will walk down the office, be able to talk to me, go through the process, let us make decisions together. We're always going to do things collaborative. It's just on collaborative on get hired day, right? Mm-hmm. It's collaborative throughout the whole process, right? And it's a collaborative efforts between myself, you know, we always incorporate and talk about it with our owner. We always talk about it with our people that are really in charge, our coordinators on my side of the ball. And on this side of the ball, you're talking about Kyle Smith, you're talking about Ryan Pace, you're talking about Tumbo. All of those guys are all involved. So, like, we try to involve as many people as we can to make sure we bring the right people in there, first of all, and we're able to add people that's going to help us and give us value that we want and that makes sense for us. So, you know, nothing went down yesterday, and it's exactly what it is. But you can't forget how much you like the people you have. Like, all of a sudden, overnight, I didn't stop liking my guys.
Right.
I love my guys. And, like, I love the fact of who we have. I love what we have. And I love what we can even get better, right? Like, we got people that's not playing at the level that we're going to get them to play at, and I can't wait till it happens.
Coach Raw, at camp, I kept talking about Darnell Mooney, and I said, I think he's going to have a special season. A lot of people said, whatever, Dukes. You're crazy.
Okay, I might have said that.
Five touchdowns, 588 right now.
I think six, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, no.
Five after this this weekend.
Drake is six.
Did you know? Did you have any idea that this connection was going to be what it is with him and Cousins?
This is not the me show. So this is what I'll say. I say Mooney was a product of playing against him and recognizing who he was as a player, also collaborating with a guy that took him in the draft in Ryan Pace, also knowing the kid from his draft process and what he brought to the table, the seriousness, the demeanor, the quickness, the need, it all fit. So when we're able to go get him, who knows, you're going to be able to come out and have as much success as he had, but we knew he'd be the consistent contributor for us, and he'd fit opposite of Drake perfect.
Right.
And so when all those things added up and made sense for us, maybe not to everybody else in the league, but for us, we knew it was a guy we wanted to go target and go get, and I couldn't be more pleased with the stuff that he's doing right now.
What's up, Darnell?
Coach Ross with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Early start today with an early practice, and one of the cool plays, we talked about it on the show on Monday, Diggs is kind of confused, out of position, Cowboys don't know what's going on, all of a sudden Mooney, it just breaks for a big play, Kurt sees him, and it seems like you also got them to call, burn some timeouts as well, which is always part of the game, too.
It was awesome, you know, the execution, you know, we talked about the clean game that Kurt played the week before, and then he follows it up with a cleaner game. You know, and it's like the execution, the understanding by Kurt, I pick on him every week. He goes through this process. He's a maniac on Wednesday where he's angry at everybody, it feels like. And then by Thursday, he loosens up. He's able to go out there and practice. And then on Friday, he's all angry again. And then Saturday, he's this great human. And then Sunday, he turns into this alien that we know is changed, right?
Right.
And like, that's his process. That's what he goes through. And he laughs at it, whatever the case may be. But his connection with those guys and those guys being to go out and execute the things that we talk about and the situation that we see it on, it's really coming to fruition for all those guys, and I love it.
Coach, my words, not yours. The Saints are a mess. does that even matter with all that's happening in their house as to how we approach this weekend, what we do anything differently? Like, because people always feel like, I think fans feel like you see and hear all that and you go, and like, we can't take anything for granted, right? We this is the Saints. This is a rivalry game, regardless of what's happening.
So this is what you got to know about all of that stuff. The perception from the outside looking in is that they're a mess. The reality is what the Saints make it, right? We've been in that situation before. Mm-hmm. We've been in that situation even with us right after the draft. And we just come out and you go through your process and you got to believe in what you're doing. So whatever they got going on in the house doesn't matter to us. Our preparation has to be as if everything's in line. They're coming in all guns blazing and they're ready to go. And we got to be prepared to play our best game. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to figure out a way to go through our process. We're trying to figure out what's best for us this week. We're figuring out how to go out there and get our next victory. The what it takes means is going to happen. We're going to go through our practice. We're going to go through our game. We're going to go through everything. And we're going to end up in New Orleans and we're going to be playing a real football game. And then once that starts, Alvin Kamara is going to be there. You know, David Carr is going to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to have significant players on defense going to play, Alante Taylor and those type of guys. And that matters.
Coach Ross with us, guys, talking about the Falcons and the Saints. I know we'll get the injury report coming up here in a bit, but Drake, you feel he's going to – is that be game time, or how's that looking?
You know, I feel good. I'm not in the business of hiding guys and trying to act like they're not going to play, but I really feel good about Drake playing. Okay. I feel good about where Drake is. We said he was day-to-day, and, you know, obviously we'll get more information as we get a chance to practice tomorrow, as we get a chance to practice on Friday, as we get him through the process. But Drake's a competitor. And it's not more for that he wants to be out there for his fans and go play football for his guys.
Coach, did that happen on the touchdown? I mean, I didn't know or had an idea of when that play took place. All we realized was he was on the sidelines.
It was, you know how the adrenaline's going. So it could have been a big explosive play caught right before, right. And then it happens with the touchdown. But when he came off, when he felt it, he tried to go back in, couldn't make it quite back in, and then he was out for the rest of the day.
Raheem Morris, in this interview brought to you by our friends at the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center, here live at Flowery Branch. Coach, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I got to ask this question.
You always start off with such a defensive question.
Well, because this is going to be asked, and then you're going to look at me the way you look at me, and then you're going to be like, why the hell did you ask me that?
No, but, okay. I'm not.
Man, I'm all ears for this one.
All right. We knew Michael Penix wasn't going to play.
Yes.
We knew that. Rook is hurt, but he has played.
Yes.
Trice, injured, Dorless, hadn't played.
Yes.
Those are our first four picks. And yep. And fans are saying, what are we getting out of this rookie class? And I don't know if it's fair to judge this class quite yet. We're not, you know, we hadn't seen enough of these guys. But that's something, and we're winning in spite of that, Coach. The depth on this team is showing you that even without playing some of these rookies, because you were in a place where you guys played rookies last year in with the Rams, and those cats played really well for you. That's not been the situation here. As we said, some of these guys have played. How do you evaluate this rookie class?
You don't. Dukes, when you go out and you want to draft people really from a year off when you're a good football team. When you're not a good football team and you got to play those rookies and you put them in those situations, sometimes they're not ready, you can expose them or they have a bunch of success. Mm. And usually you kind of mitigate it by giving them good plans and things they can go out there and execute and let them play really fast and let their talents come out and let them flourish. We got a good football team. Like, I adapted a good football team. I when I got hired here, it was a good football team. The excitement about the team was because of the team. It wasn't because I was coming back to hang out with you, but it was because the players that was on the team. Bijan Robinson, so we're not going to play Jace. Tyler Allgeier, so we're not going to play Jace. Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, you know, like, the guys like that, they limit the ability for those young defensive tackles that we got behind them. They're not going to play as much. TQ, Zach Harrison, you got guys you draft in the second round and the third round years before that. I really got some experience to go out there and play really well for you. AK on the edge. Obviously, Trice got hurt. Rook's right. Been hurt. Rook's jumped into that lineman and got into the mix, but he got his ankle. And then, obviously, you know, Michael Penix, that was a plan for the future for the whole time, right? We went out and we addressed the quarterback situation, which we felt we had to address in our whole building. That was the number one goal. That was the number one thing we wanted to do. And went out and got Kirk Cousins, and he has paid off in a big way. And then you go out and you get Michael Penix for your future because you don't want to go through those situations again that we've been through with the last 7 years. We don't ever want to do that again. And now we got two guys in the building that we feel really great about. We got a bunch of guys in the rookie classes. Some have been playing different roles, whether it's been JD on special teams, a little bit mixed in on the inside linebacker spot where we had guys out.
Right.
And now he can ease back out the linemen as Troy's and the Ellis's and all those guys that you're excited about come back. And are you going to use them more in a rush plan? Yeah, of course. So when those things happen, and you're able not to play some of these rookies, that means you got a really good football team.
We talked about Ebiketie earlier.
Noah's a little different for us, right?
Right, right.
For real. Like, that's exactly right.
Well, we talked last week about Braylon Trice, and that's just, look, we'll never know. We'll have to wait till next year, but he looked like a rock star in the small sample size we got to see of the dude. Braylon Trice will be here next year. Arukuroro will eventually get back. Ebiketie, we talked about last week. You just mentioned Caden Ellis. Caden Ellis had 7 sacks 2 years ago with the Saints. That's a guy, is that what plays into maybe with Jimmy Lake's plan? He gets more involved in walking him up and trying to get him on the quarterback.
There's no doubt. I believe he's leading all inside linebackers with pressures and some crazy rush stat. Again, stats, right? You guys go dig those things up and talk about it. But
it's right.
He's doing some really good things rushing the quarterback. We just hadn't got some of the results of the sacks and things of that nature. But last week getting a sack, recording that. Last week having 13 tackles. I believe he hit the quarterback. It felt like 9 times.
Yeah.
But he was all over the place for us. And that's how you want to play. That's the vision you have from day one. But I tell you what, you don't have to peak in this league right at the beginning. Right? You want to peak as we're going, and as you hit this stretch run, it's start to figure out who you really are.
Was there anything different, real quick, just wrap up, about the new – anything different the guys had to pick up on the Jimmy Lake defense? Is there any nuances they're getting better at as the season's progressing?
There's always a little bit of understanding how a guy calls it, how you want to go through your process. There's always a small learning curve of all those things, and there's always going to be give and take to both sides. You got some really good football players like we just mentioned here. You know, you got a great mind upstairs, Jimmy Lake, and all the coaches that we're able to bring in, whether it be Jay Rogers or whether it be Jaquie Smith or whether it be Jerry Gray, people that have been here, all these guys getting together and collaborating. And now you're starting to see AJ start to play really well. You're starting to see Ellis play really well. You're starting to play Grady, start to pick up where he's left off and what we've known him from and do some of those things. So that learning curve is going to happen. It just happened a little bit faster for us on offense, and now it's starting to happen for us on defense. And hopefully we hit a wave and get all those things clicking on the cylinders and like Marquise Williams has been doing on special teams all year.
Coach, Saints Sunday, I'm not sure if Taysom Hill's back. All I know is when he's in the game, he's going to run the ball. He's running it.
You assume he's back if he's not.
If he's not. What do we need to do Sunday?
We got to stop the run. You know, make no mistake about it. They got whatever you want to call Taysom. We call him the Joker because he's the wild card.
Yeah.
Right? He can play anywhere he wants to play.
I thought it might be a four-letter word you call him.
He can play. You might call him that when he's not listening. He can be the quarterback. He can be a fullback. He can be a tight end. He can be a tailback. You know, he may line up at wideout. He's all over the place. So he's the Joker, right? And he does so many good things. But the best thing that he does is run the ball.
Right.
And then they got one of the best, if not the best, running back in the National Football League. And we got to find a way to stop the run. You know, obviously, they got some receivers down, but they got some young guys going to be out there playing. But you got to go out and stop the run. It's a little bit of old school football. They got like the old school mentality, two backs in the backfield, like kind of like when you played. But they got a little downhill run game.
Coach, chance to go 5-0 in the division.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Let's go get another one in New Orleans.
Let's go get a win.
All right, appreciate you, Coach. How does the committee put Ohio State over Georgia? It's a question we've been talking about today with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And guys, with the first rankings out from the College Football Playoff Committee and Big O back at the studio, I want to hear from Ward Manuel, who was the committee chair, because he had a reason for this and he kind of explained it. And then we'll talk more about the teams that are really in contention, including Alabama, guys, even with 2 losses. But I think they're in an elimination game coming up this weekend.
Right.
Here is Ward Manuel. Here's why they, the committee, put Ohio State over Georgia at number 2.
They both had great wins in terms of on the road, Ohio State against Penn State this week, Georgia at Texas. But what we felt is in terms of the losses they had, Ohio State lost to number 1, Oregon by 1, and Georgia lost at Alabama, who's ranked number 11. And so that was really the difference. I mean, we're splitting hairs in terms of looking at 2 great teams.
Yeah, they do this a lot in the past, just to kind of drive the conversation, get you fired up, and certainly get us fired up in the Southeast. But look, Georgia lost yesterday. At the time, Alabama was number 4, by the way. I thought it mattered what they were at the time. That was part of it. Clemson was a number 14 that they handled 34-3. They beat the number 1 team in the country in Texas. And, obviously Ohio State just went into Happy Valley and beat Penn State. Game control, both Georgia and Ohio State have had sloppy games, if we're honest. You know, the Florida game was sloppy.
It was.
Auburn game was sloppy. Mistake game, I was there for that one. That was sloppy. So, I mean, if you want to say style points, neither Ohio State or Georgia have had the kind of game control which they look for. But either way, I think it'll all work out. Because as you said, you're number 1, they win your conference. Yeah, but you'd be locked in at number 4 or 3.
You're locked
or
in.
Or 2.
The rankings and the seedings are different, guys. They are projecting that Georgia will win the SEC, and that is why, again, you're ranked as high as a top 4 seed. Alabama's ranked higher than Iowa State, K-State, and Colorado. All three could win the Big 12 championship. And that doesn't bode well for the Big 12. What they're telling you is champion in, no one else.
Right.
That's what the committee is basically saying right now. And so if you're Alabama, and this is what's interesting, because Boise State is the clear group of five team right now sitting there. It's going to be the four champions, group of five, which is Boise, and then everybody else. Obviously, Indiana and Notre Dame are in good position. They were ranked 8th and 10th last night, so they have a really good shot. And remember, Indiana plays Ohio State. Notre Dame's got to continue to win. But the whole thing with Alabama, Mike, is this weekend, LSU.
This is it. Loser leaves town for both either LSU or either.
And right. So the reason is simple, guys. Three-loss team, and then you start talking about the one-loss teams that are left in the SEC, Tennessee and Georgia still have to play. This is a big game for Ole Miss. If they lose, forget about the playoff. We're not done. They're done. They have two losses. So this is a must-win for them. And for Georgia, again, I still feel like a two-loss Georgia with the hardest schedule in college football gets in, even if they were to lose this weekend or against Tennessee before the end of the season.
Now, again, you got a team in SMU that's got wins over two top 25 teams, Louisville and number 18 Pitt. They're behind Boise State, whose best game was a three-point loss to Oregon. They haven't beat anybody who's ranked, and their strength of schedule, I looked it up, Boise State's 51st in the country. So right now, again, it don't matter. It will matter after the conference championships, and people will start pulling their hair out. But Notre Dame in there at 10, because, you know, the Irish, as we said yesterday, always monkeying around. And then the big question is the guys, the non-traditionals, Indiana, BYU, and we'll see where they go. But you feel that Tennessee, are they going to be done with two losses? They beat Alabama.
That's the thing. And because a two-loss Tennessee still has a shot.
But here's another argument for it. What if it comes down to, it's the last, the 12th.
But that means they got to beat Georgia.
Alabama, Tennessee, and that win in Neyland is going to maybe be the deciding factor.
Yeah. Four Big Ten teams right now, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana. Remember, Oregon could play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, and Indiana still has to play Ohio State. That's going to figure itself out. Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, those are the four SEC teams. Georgia already beat Texas, and then Tennessee and Georgia will have to play. Alabama sitting there, they don't play any of those three teams left.
Right.
And they lost to Tennessee.
You know, yeah, Notre Dame's got a horrible loss to NIU. And then let's be honest now. Penn State, you know, big game, hot sauce. Coach Franklin, he lost that game to Ohio State. Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland.
Not impressive.
And so here's the thing. Do you want that one-loss Penn State team that everybody in God's green earth knows Franklin is not going to be able to beat a ranked opponent? I mean, well, again, I don't want to say that. Maybe Penn State can turn it around, but they've never shown the ability. Maybe as a, I don't know, however this format's going to work out. Sure, they could knock off a Boise State, but I don't give Penn State much chance in anything else.
It's they will be – listen, it feels like right now, and we're going to dive in more into
this.
Because
they're number six team in the country right now with just one loss.
Yes,
that's the thing.
But it feels like there's going to be four potential Big Ten teams and four SEC. What are they? We're still not sure.
Miami is a huge favorite against Georgia Tech. It's a noon start. You brought this up the other day. I think Wes was talking about it. I wish it was a night game at Bobby Dodd. For what it's worth, Brent Key says they're hoping that Haynes King is going to be able to go.
They need him.
Without Haynes King, I mean, it's, and Miami's kind of earmarked this game because obviously of what happened last year when Cristobal blew it.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.